Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It is about that time. Happy Thursday, May 10, 2018. You are now locked into WKAR's current sports, as Chayo just mentioned, coming to you live from the campus of Michigan State University on WKAR AM 870, 105.1 FM. Boy, oh boy, do we got a lot to cram into the next 60 minutes for you all. You know, I had a plan. I had it all mapped out, what I was going to talk about to lead the hour. Had some points I wanted to make when it comes to the world of college sports. We're going to talk some Michigan State football, address Mark D'Antonio slipping on the national college football coaches rankings. Had all of this planned. That was until a story broke today, courtesy of the Detroit News. A reporter by the name of Robert Snell, publishing a piece entitled Lions Patricia Indicted but never tried in 96 sexual assault. This is a story that is really, it really has the sports world buzzing a bit, because the level of incompetence just blows my mind when it comes to this story. Just to lay out the facts for you all right now. This morning, Matt Patricia, who is the new head coach, hasn't coached a game yet, the new head coach of the Detroit Lions, he held a press conference that was initially already scheduled to just address how the preparations are coming in the offseason for this team, to address probably the NFL draft picks for the Lions a few weeks ago. But that all went left due to this story from the Detroit News. Now, Detroit Lions owner Martha Ford, team president Rod Wood, and general manager Bob Quinn released a joint statement late yesterday expressing support for head coach Patricia after this story of a sexual assault charge against him from 22 years ago resurfaced. Now, Patricia, in an accompanying statement, he denies the accusation made by a woman while Patricia was a student at Rensselaer Polytech Institute on spring break in South Padre Island in Texas back in 1996. That's when this allegedly occurred. Now, before I give you my thoughts, I want to play right now a bit of the press conference that took place a few hours ago in which Matt Patricia came out. He read a prepared statement. And then from there, and I was shocked that he did this, from there, he took questions about this story. So right now, if we can, Engineer Ian Hawley, I want to roll in that press conference right now.
I'm here to defend my honor and clear my name. 22 years ago, I was falsely accused of something very serious. Very serious allegations. There were claims made about me that never happened. While I'm thankful on one level that the process worked and the case was dismissed, at the same time, I was never given the opportunity to defend myself or to allow to push back with the truth to clear my name. This was something that was very traumatic to me when I was 21 years old. And once it was finally addressed, I tried to put it behind me. For those of you that are just getting to know me, and for those that have known me for a long time, you should know that I was raised the right way by two amazing parents who taught me to know the difference between right and wrong, to stand up for what's right, and to stand up for those who've been wronged. I have two older sisters that taught me respect and love. I have always tried to protect them and keep them from harm. I'm a husband and a father to a wonderful and amazing family. I try to share those same values with them. I am so thankful to my wife and my family for being supportive of me. I believe and have always acted with a respect for all people, knowing that everyone is someone's dad, mom, sister, brother, son, or daughter. I do not condone any of the type of behavior that has been alleged, and I never have. I have always been someone who respects and protects the rights of anyone who has been harassed or is the victim of violence, and we as an organization will continue to operate that way. In these times, we need to be even more sensitive and responsible in dealing with these issues and separate right from wrong. Thankfully, truth is on my side. I lived with the mental torture of a situation where facts can be completely ignored or misrepresented with disregard to the consequence and pain that it would create for another person. I find it unfair and upsetting that someone would bring this claim up over two decades later for the sole purpose of hurting my family, my friends, and this organization, with the intention of trying to damage my character and credibility. I was innocent then, and I am innocent now. Let me be clear. My priorities remain the same, to move forward and strive to be the best coach, teacher, and man that I can possibly be.
Matt, with the Me Too movement, how could you not think this would resurface?
You know, like I said, I started interviewing for jobs 22 years ago in a time where 1 year after this incident happened, where I interviewed and these situations never came up, were never asked, and it was never an issue. So through the course of my career, as again, like I said, the case was dismissed and I am innocent. So as I went through those times, it was never been an issue.
What happened the night in question, the allegations or what happened that day?
Again, I think what's important here, what happened 22 years ago, is what didn't happen. As I said, I was innocent then, and I am innocent now. I was falsely accused of something that I did not do.
There was a grand jury indictment. Can you explain why you actually were indicted, even though charges were dropped?
Again, I was accused of something that I did not do. I went through the process and the case was dismissed.
Were you in the room with the girl? Was there consensual sex? Was there anything going on between you?
Again, I did nothing wrong. And that's all I'm going to say on that matter.
Do you regret not disclosing this to the Detroit Lions? And is this something you've ever disclosed to an employee?
Like I said before, you know, I've interviewed for a lot of jobs. And again, interviewing for jobs in engineering right after the situation happened, it was never brought, it was never an issue, it was never came up as a anything because it was dismissed and I was innocent. So it just has never been part of any process that I've been involved with before.
During your interview here, or maybe during your interview with the Patriots as well, did the Lions ask you at any point if you had been arrested for something?
There was never any situation in the Lions interview where I did not disclose the truth.
Did they ask you or not?
Again, as far as the interview process is concerned, I mean, there was nothing that, and Rod had spoke to it earlier about the process, there was nothing that I did not answer truthfully.
How did you address this with your team today?
Yeah, I mean, I talked to the team today, and I told them, you know, exactly what I said to you guys and told them the truth. And I also took this opportunity again to one more time focus on the fact that, in this time, we do need to be sensitive and responsible, and I use this as a learning moment for them so that, we can all try to be better.
Do you think there's any new allegations? Can they how if at all, will they undermine your job? How much do you think they could undermine your job this year?
Like, again, I'm you know, my mission right now is to move forward and be the best coach for this organization that I can be.
Coach, you talked about talking to your team today. How important is it that you know that you're the leader of that team and that you are the person that you say you are?
Absolutely. I'm 100% the head coach of the Detroit Lions.
Matt, just one question. Matt, just to be clear, nobody with the Lions knew about this when you were hired? None of the hierarchy at all knew about it?
That is correct. It never came up in the interview process, but I've always been truthful about it when it was addressed.
Has the support remained the same?
Like I said before, Mrs. Ford, her family, Rod and Bob are unbelievable people. I cannot express to you how amazing human beings they are, compassionate and understanding. They have been phenomenal.
Were you ever afraid that you would one day have to address this throughout your tenure in coaching?
I've never not been afraid to address it. My family is known. I've always been truthful with all the situations.
Have other organizations asked you about this?
Thank you. I appreciate everybody's time.
Have other organizations asked you about this?
So there you have that. The response from head coach of the Detroit Lions, Matt Patricia, to a report from Robert Snell of the Detroit News addressing the report that he was indicted but never tried on charges of sexual assault back in 1996. You also heard him say that Detroit Lions owner Martha Ford, team president Rod Wood, and general manager Bob Quinn have released a joint statement supporting him in relation to this story. Now, I got a few points I want to make. Again, we got a jam-packed show. We're going to have Aaron McMahon on of MLive.com. We've also got Jack Ebling, who will be joining me as well. But again, this is the story of the day. A few points I want to make as I learn more of this story in the last 24 hours, excuse me, and the last 2 days trying to let this all process. Now, one, I have no reason to believe that Matt Patricia is guilty. Because, as I stated when looking at the facts of this story, right now, what we know of what happened back in 1996 is that Matt Patricia was charged, but the accuser, she declined to testify, citing stress of trial. That's what we know. There was a grand jury indictment that took place. And again, apparently, you know, when you charge someone of something this serious, you felt as though there was enough evidence there to go forth with it. Now, when it comes to the facts of this story, again, the accuser told police that they met, her and Patricia met on a Texas beach. Fellow college students visiting South Padre Island during spring break of 96. She was 21-year-old college student at a large university, and Patricia and another man, two football players, and Theta Chi fraternity brothers at Rensselaer Polytech Institute in upstate New York. On the evening of March 15th, 1996, the woman told police that two men burst into an upscale hotel room where she was sleeping and took turns violently sexually assaulting her, according to court records and a news account at the time. They were arrested, charged, and later indicted by a grand jury on one count of aggravated sexual assault, but they never stood trial and were not convicted. And as we all know, Matt Patricia has now been hired as the new head coach of the Detroit Lions. One of the indicted men, again, was Patricia in this whole situation. The other is his friend and captain of RPI's football team. Greg Dietrich is his name. At the time, Patricia was 21. Greg was 22. And this story was huge at the time. Back in 96, actually, the Monitor newspaper, one of the local newspapers around there, actually published an article entitled, quote, "Two New York Men Charged with Rape of Student." What blows my mind, and again, I have no reason to believe that Matt Patricia is guilty here, because even though he was charged, he was never found guilty in a court of law. Now, when it comes to being found guilty in the court of public opinion, that's a whole nother discussion that we are having right now. Many of you are having right now. I don't know if Matt Patricia did what is being alleged here. We don't know that. Again, because the accuser, she declined to testify, citing stress of trial. But if there is anyone that you can criticize for this big pile of mess right now, that finger has to point to the Detroit Lions organization, because I don't know how in the world, during the interview process, you did not find this out and address it to Patricia. That blows my mind. This is the National Football League we are talking about. We were just talking about the NFL draft and prior to that, the NFL combine and how strenuous the NFL combine process is, where they sit down with these potential NFL players, all of these different teams and coaches and upper execs in the NFL sit down with these potential players and riddle them with questions, give them these different tests of intelligence, hire private investigators to dig into the lives of these young men at the NFL Combine. Yet, in this said situation, when it comes to the hiring of Matt Patricia, when you sat down with Matt Patricia, Detroit Lions organization, when you sat down with Matt Patricia, Martha Ford, Rod Wood, and Patricia's homie, Bob Quinn, you guys didn't think to ask Patricia about his past and whether or not he has been arrested or any kind of or do any research whatsoever when it comes to any negative things that could pop up on the radar of Patricia's past. That is utter incompetence. It makes no sense whatsoever, especially it's 2018. You know, you heard one of the questions. You heard one of the journalists in the press conference. You didn't think to look into the past of Patricia, especially living in 2018, where a hashtag MeToo is everywhere. Really? I mean, if you're a Detroit Lions fan out there and you're reading this story today, you should be irate. You really should. I don't get it. You know, reading this article, and again, you know, those watching via our Facebook live stream, again, this is the piece on the front page of the Detroit News today, written by Robert Snell. And Robert has been reached out by multiple media organizations out there, including us here at WKAR, and he wants the story to speak for itself. He does not want to comment. He wants the story to speak for itself. In the piece, when approached by the Detroit News, team president Rod Wood initially said, quote, "I don't know anything about this," end quote. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? In 2018, when we are having extensive dialogue about sexual assault and having extensive dialogue about the Me Too campaign and looking at what is going on with Bill Cosby and Harvey Weinstein, you don't do your homework when it comes to hiring the head coach of your organization, yet you want to pry and dive into the lives and the backgrounds and the arrest records of your potential players on the brink of the NFL draft. I do not get it. I do not understand it. So where do we go from now, right? The Detroit Lions have just opened up a huge can of worms here. And you better believe that when the season kicks off, you're going to see protests. And I'm seeing some mixed reactions via social media. A lot of you who are fans of the Detroit Lions organization, who ride or die with the Honolulu Blue, are voicing your thoughts and saying, "Oh, this happened back in 1996. Can we just focus and put that behind us? Just move forward and focus on what Patricia's going to do for us in year one and throughout his tenure as head coach." But then I'm seeing on the flip side, you know, a lot of women out there who are reading a story like this and saying, "My goodness, talk about enabled behavior." I mean, are you kidding me? The head coach, You know, you don't do your research here. How does Rod Wood not know this? You know, again, when I read that quote, I said, "Are you?" I almost spit out my coffee this morning. I don't know anything about this. And then hours later, said his review of the situation only reinforced the team's decision to hire Patricia. So he basically doubled back and said, "Well, you know, I did know about it, but you know, this is a direct quote coming from Wood. Quote: I am very comfortable with the process of interviewing and employing Matt. I will tell you with 1,000% certainty that everything I've learned confirmed what I already knew about the man, and would have no way changed our decision to make him our head coach. That's all fine and dandy, Rod. What I'm saying is." The point I'm making here is you didn't feel the need to look into Matt Patricia's past. And then, and I've seen this reaction from a lot of people as well, you know, during the interview process. Why didn't Matt Patricia himself say to the Detroit Lions organization during the interview process, you know, there's something you may want to look into and I want to clear the air right now. Back in 1996, I was indicted on sexual assault. I want to let you guys know that, because that may be a problem here later on down the line. If you choose to hire me. A lot of people are coming at Matt Patricia and saying, well, you should have let the Detroit Lions organization know. I'm not putting that on Matt Patricia. I'm putting that on those who interviewed Matt Patricia. Those upper execs for the Detroit Lions organization. Rod Wood, Martha Ford, Bob Quinn, you should have known. You should have known. I don't get it. I just don't get it. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. And now this is going to be a story that is going to continue to unravel and unfold, and many people are going to come out, and already people on social media are kind of up in arms about it. And then also another story that I saw on the front page of ESPN today, Michigan State University and John Engler. This story was published by Dan Murphy just minutes before we hit the airwaves, entitled John Engler Says Student Safety at Michigan State is a Priority Over Winning Games. Michigan State interim president John Engler said today he doesn't believe the university has placed more priority on winning games in basketball and football than keeping students safe from sexual misconduct on campus. Engler said those reports receive extra scrutiny in the media, but that coaches Tom Izzo and Mark D'Antonio have handled sexual assault accusations against players in the program with, quote, great personal integrity, end quote. So again, Michigan State has been under the radar, right, when it comes to how they have handled sexual assault, you know, for months now. We've been talking about those stories for a long time. And now, not too far from here, in the state of Michigan, down in Allen Park, there's drama unfolding with the Detroit Lions organization. This entire state, when it comes to sports, is just looking completely foolish right now. All right, let me take a pause here. Take a deep breath. I'm going to try to move on right now, because we have not one but two guests on today's Current Sports. I want to welcome right now. Is he ready? Do we have Aaron McMahon ready? We do have Aaron McMahon ready, getting a thumbs up from behind the glass, courtesy of Ian Hawley. Going to try and shift gears now and talk some talk some Michigan college football, as they have just now wrapped up that trip to Paris. Right now, let's get right to it. Aaron McMahon, Michigan football beat writer for MLive.com. Aaron, how you doing, my man? Thanks for joining me on this Thursday afternoon.
I'm good, Al. Good to be back.
So, Aaron, let's dive into, first off, Jim Harbaugh's decision into choosing Paris this year to head out. And of course, this is now back-to-back years in which the Michigan football team has taken an international trip. What went into that decision into choosing Paris? Why Paris?
Yeah, you know, it seems like every spring now, Jim's kind of proposed several options, several destinations. Last year, obviously, went to Italy and Rome. This year, you know, Paris was one of those options. He threw out London. South Africa was out there. I'm sure there are a couple of others that I can't remember. To my knowledge, they put it to the vote. They gave the team, I think they narrowed it down to three or four different places. The players got to vote on it. I think the original plan early on was to do Paris and London on the same trip. I think they figured that to be a little logistically impossible or difficult. Mm-hmm. So they settled on France specifically, you know, Paris, and they spent one day out in Normandy.
That is amazing. And Aaron, you were on the trip, right? And I'm pretty sure the jet lag is gone, right?
It is. Hopefully. Yeah, it took me a few days. Going there wasn't a problem, but coming back was really rough. But now I've gotten through it.
So for you, Aaron, reporting on this this experience for Jim Harbaugh's troops, what kind of impact did you notice this trip make on the team?
Yeah, I think it humbled some guys. You know, there were several players I remember talking to on the trip, specifically Joe Milton, the true freshman quarterback that came in from Orlando. He mentioned that he'd never been outside of the country. You know, so some of these guys, you know, maybe never been outside the United States before, maybe never been to a different continent before. So it was humbling. You know, they spent a day, like I mentioned, in the Normandy province, saw the D-Day landing, the site of the landing. They went to some historical museums. They went to a cemetery. They did a lot of things that I think, you know, that weren't football related. They were exposed to different things. It was a learning lesson, I guess, for a lot of these players. You know, Harbaugh has preached this the last couple of years since coming to Michigan that you know, yes, they're there for obviously football and school and everything else, but you know, they real life experiences are also a big thing to him as well. He's preached that the last couple of years. Obviously, went to Italy that last year. He's proposed going to doing another trip again next spring. So it was, I think it was a good experience. You know, and talking to players, they're all very fortunate. They felt fortunate. You know, it was a place that maybe some of them had never seen before, but maybe would have never gotten the opportunity had it not been for this trip. So it was a good experience, I think, for everyone involved.
You know, anytime you take an international trip, and even, you know, speaking from my experience, just taking any kind of international trip where you get away from the U.S. of A and see how other people live and see how other cultures operate, it really is eye-opening and very humbling, to say the least. For you, you know, and I, first off, I want to talk about the trip to Normandy, though, Aaron, because I know that was a really emotional part of this trip. I saw ESPN's coverage and saw the footage from ESPN of that moment where they really got to see where so many young men around, you know, their age, actually, during that time, lost their lives fighting for their country. That trip to Normandy had to be pretty emotional. What was the highlight of that moment for you?
Yeah, for me, it was probably just looking over the beach. You know, they had really three stops that whole day. They spent the whole day in Normandy. They started out in the morning at the Kane Peace Memorial Museum. It honored kind of the battle at Normandy and the fight there. Then the team kind of traveled, I'd say, a half hour west to the beach. They stopped off. They spent about a half hour overlooking the beach in Omaha Beach, one of the sites of you know, the fight there. The players took pictures and just kind of took the scene in. It was interesting because it was rainy and cold and windy that day, and you know, the waves are crashing in. You got it. It was a very pristine, I guess, view. You know, it was fascinating to watch the players just kind of react. And then they finished the day at an American military cemetery in Normandy, where over 9,000 soldiers from the U.S. are buried from World War II. So it was an whole day thing. You know, for me, at least from my perspective, I think just, you know, being there at the beach and just kind of taking that whole scene in was probably the highlight, not only of the day, but I think of the trip for me as well.
Yeah, and you, Aaron, I mean, being a sports reporter, I mean, we're used to covering, you know, touchdowns and slam dunks. And anytime you get the rare opportunity to cover something like this, it had to be unbelievably cool for you. And also, you know, going on a trip like this, an international trip, and covering something like this, I'm sure, Aaron, this helps in growing your relationships with the team as a reporter. Can you speak on that for, you know, that experience for you, and getting to know these players away from the field and getting to know the coaches and Jim Harbaugh away from the field?
Absolutely. You know, there's a small group of us that went over there to, you know, to cover the trip. You know, typically, you know, during a game week at, you know, at Michigan, there's dozens and dozens of reporters and bloggers and everything else. And it was, you know, a handful of four or five of us that went over there. So it was definitely a more intimate setting for us. You know, we got to see the players kind of, you know, on their own. You got to see Jim Harbaugh walking down the street, you know, with his wife and kids. And, you know, you get to see a different side of folks. You know, we're obviously so used to, you know, criticizing or analyzing or doing whatever, you know, that case about these players and the coaches on the field. You know, here we're just able to interact with them one-on-one, you know, or in small settings, you know, in different, you know, locations. You know, they did a football clinic the first day they were there. They brought in some locals from Paris. That was a cool scene. And then, you know, a lot of tourist stuff. You know, they went to the Louvre Museum. They went to the Notre Dame Cathedral. So you got to see a lot of these guys outside of their element. It was kind of cool from a reporter standpoint as well.
Without a doubt. Again, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with Aaron McMahon, Michigan football beat reporter for MLive.com. All right, before we get you out of here, Aaron, I want to talk about Shea Patterson because, you know, Shea Patterson has been granted approval to play immediately. Patterson being a transfer from Ole Miss, there are a lot of excited Michigan football fans out there expecting big things from Patterson. But what went into that approval from the NCAA to play immediately? And did you expect that approval to go through?
Yeah, that's a complicated question. If you had asked me maybe a month ago, I was kind of on the fence about it. You know, the NCAA doesn't really have a track record of letting something like this, you know, fly. They're pretty strict in their enforcement of the rules, and they don't like to bend them much because if once you bend them or change them, it opens the door for other situations or other players that can make the argument that, well, you know, I was unhappy with this program or they felt like the coach – you know, messed around with them at the program, so they should be able to play their next school. In the NCAA's case, they actually, in fact, went in and changed a transfer rule preemptively about a week before the decision was made that basically allowed Shea Patterson to be eligible. You know, they changed the rule that said, you know, basically if a player feels like they were, there were unintended consequences or they were in they were affected negatively at their previous program, they're allowed to come in and play right away. So it was an interesting rule change. It was something we hadn't heard of before the ruling was made. It kind of came out after the fact. But it basically paved the way for Shea to be eligible. You know, and I know the coaching staff was happy for that rule. Obviously, a lot of the players are. Shea himself as well. I remember we spoke to him, I think, the first full day there in France, and he kind of breathed a sigh of relief about it because, you know, this has been weighing on him for months now. You know, Michigan, his attorney, and Michigan's compliance department officially submitted their waiver request to the NCAA back on February 26th. So this was a two-month process of the NCAA going back to Michigan, going to Ole Miss, gathering all their information and finally coming to a conclusion. So, and keep in mind too, Michigan went through their entire spring practice schedule, all 15, without knowing. So, you know, they were basically working with four different quarterbacks. They're all taking equal reps, all having equal input in the offense. So this, I think, changes things a little bit going into summer conditioning.
Yeah, talk about an extensive process. So overseas, you know, in Paris, that's when Shea got word that he was eligible.
He did. Yeah, it was actually the day they were leaving. I think the story went, Shea told us that he was packing his suitcase in his dorm room and he was cleaning it out because they were leaving that later that afternoon. They were flying to Paris and his attorney called him. The University of Michigan's compliance department called him. They kind of called him into their office, and that's when they delivered the news. So Shea got the news and then literally boarded a plane for Paris. So it was a good day, I think, for all involved.
Amazing. Now, again, I know that Jim Harbaugh did say that it is still an open quarterback competition, right? And I think he's saying that just to say it, you know, from a PR perspective, hey, it's an open competition. You got to earn your spot on this roster. You got to earn that starting spot on this roster. But is it safe to say, you know, they didn't go through all these loopholes to get Shea eligible for this first year just to bench him? Is it safe to say that he will be the man behind center September 1st at Notre Dame?
You know, I'd like to think so. It's rare where you see a transfer come in, you know, a high-profile transfer like Shea come into a program and not play right away. There's got to be some understanding there that he's either going to get the job or certainly be in contention for it. Now, like you mentioned earlier, you know, I don't think, you know, I think Harbaugh is reluctant to totally close the door on Brandon Peters. Keep in mind, he started four games last year. He looked good at times, didn't look so good in the bowl game. You know, he's been in the program a couple of years now. He knows the offense. He's still, you know, Peters himself still has 3 years of eligibility remaining. So I don't think they totally want to close the door on Brandon Peters at this point. But I'd have to believe at this point, going into fall camp, Shea Patterson is definitely the leader of that group.
Okay, and final question for you, Aaron. How short right now is the temper of the Michigan fan base? Is this a do-or-die year for Jim Harbaugh? And what would be considered a successful season in 2018?
Yeah, do-or-die, I don't know. You know, I think Harbaugh can stay in Michigan as long as he wants. Michigan
right.
likes him. They've stated that many times before. But in terms of the fan base, I mean, they clearly want something more than a 10-win season. You know, they want to be in the Big Ten championship game. They want to win the Big Ten championship. They want to compete for the college football playoff and get in there. You know, Michigan's been so close so many of these years now. You know, 2 years ago they were one game away. You can argue one snap away from, you know, getting in the Big Ten championship game and then in theory getting the playoff. So, you know, the talent is there. They got 10 of their 11 returning starters on defense back. They've got plenty of returning stars on offense back. You've got Shea Patterson eligible. I think the receivers take a huge leap this year. Michigan needs to, I think, you know, obviously win their big thing. They first of all, they need to win the season opener against Notre Dame off the bat. Mm-hmm. But they've got to finally beat Ohio State. They've got to beat Michigan State. Keep in mind, both of those on the road. But I think to be successful this season, they've got to win 10 or 11 games, and they've got to get in the Big Ten championship game. That's a big hurdle. Ohio State's going to be good again. Penn State's going to be good again. You know, the Big Ten East is loaded. But Michigan, I think at this point, they need to win games they're not expected to win. And you're right. Harbaugh, you know, he's facing pressure. He knows it. He knows he needs to win these big games. You know, I can't think of a better time to do it than this season.
Yeah, definitely getting the feeling that it's a win-now mentality when it comes to the amazing Blue fan base. All right, Aaron McMahon, Michigan football beat reporter for MLive.com. You can read his outstanding work at MLive.com/sports. Thank you so much, Aaron. Fantastic job.
Absolutely. Thanks, so.
All right, before we hit our first break, I want to remind you that you can weigh in. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I know we have Mark who wants to talk about the story of the day, really, concerning Matt Patricia and this story published by the Detroit News, Robert Snell, in which he is, gone in Matt Patricia's past and found a story in which Matt Patricia was indicted. Never tried, though. In 1996, he was charged with sexual assault. Many people are reacting with this story. Many of you commenting also at our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. We'll get your reaction and more after this break. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We just wrapped up segment A discussing, off the top of the hour, the breaking news being reported by the Detroit News, an article by Robert Snell entitled "Lions Patricia Indicted But Never Tried in 1996 Sexual Assault." We played a bit of the presser from this morning in which Matt Patricia denies that any wrongdoing occurred. You heard my thoughts on it. Again, I don't know how in the world the Detroit Lions organization did not know that this was in Patricia's past. You had in the piece Rod Wood saying, quote, "I don't know anything about this," end quote, which makes absolutely no sense to me. Rod Wood being the Detroit Lions team president. And again, in the climate that we're in today, when it comes to the conversation of sexual assault, when it comes to the Me Too campaign, how don't you do your homework? It makes no sense to me. Also, a question that many people have out there is should Matt Patricia have come out and said something during the interview process to warn the Lions and say, hey, I want to get ahead of this? A lot of folks are weighing in on that. Also, the timing of this story. Why is this story coming out right now after Matt Patricia has now become the head coach of the Honolulu Blue? So a lot of questions out there. There's a lot of criticism from the public, the court of public opinion, a lot of criticism, coming from the public when it comes to Matt Patricia, also the Detroit Lions organization, and deservedly so. Without a doubt, it just blows my mind. The incompetence of the Detroit Lions organization when it comes to this story just completely blows my mind. What do you think? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. Again, weigh in via social media at our Facebook page as well at facebook.com/WKAR News. A few comments to comb through there before we go to our phone lines. I see our very own Scott Poe commenting on our Facebook page saying that Quinn and Patricia have been very close for a long time. Didn't they room together on scouting trips? This never came up when they were hanging out. I don't understand it either, Scott. You know, and maybe it did. Who knows? We don't know. Maybe it did, and maybe Bob was basically saying, you know, hey, that happened in 96. You were never convicted of anything. Let's just move on. It doesn't matter anymore. It hasn't been reported since then. So let's keep it pushing. You're our guy, basically. Ben is commenting a lot on our Facebook page, as he customarily does. And he says that Matt Patricia told Rod Wood and Martha Ford that this happened back then. He was honest with them. No, Ben, that's not what's being reported. We don't know that. According to what we do know right now, the Detroit Lions didn't know that this happened. Again, I just read you the quote from this piece in which Rod Wood is saying, I don't know what you're talking about. What? I didn't know that. So, and then he tried to recant and say, look, during that interview process, it just reiterated that we want this guy. We want Matt Patricia as our head coach. So, yeah, that's not right there, Ben. The Detroit Lions did not know here, and it blows my mind that they didn't. And then Steven says on our Facebook page, not another headache with the head coaching job with the Lions. Why, Al? So, yeah, he's frustrated as well. I feel you, brother. Let's go to line two right now. We have Mark on line two who wants to weigh in. Mark, welcome to Current Sports.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you loud and clear.
Hey, oh, okay. Totally cool. And Al, I really do appreciate your I'm calling from Myrtle Beach here in South Carolina.
How about that? We got an international caller. Well, not international, out-of-state caller. Thanks so much, Mark. Appreciate that.
Well, all I got to do is walk out my driveway, turn left, and I look at the Atlantic Ocean.
Oh, I'm jealous. That's got to be
okay.
Nice. Okay. All right. Now that you're done rubbing that in our face, right?
I have to throw kudos out here. You know, Ron Fox, the MSU Kendall Club. Ron Fox.
No, I don't.
And you know where the IM Circle is there?
Of course.
Of course. And Ron Fox runs the MSU Kendall Club. And okay. Actually, he is the stepfather of Bryn Forbes. You heard him, right?
Yes.
Bryn, yeah.
Yeah, Bryn Forbes, former Michigan State men's basketball guard, Bryn Forbes, who's with the San Antonio Spurs now, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So actually, Ron Fox is Bryn Forbes' stepfather.
Okay, nice.
Yep. And I got to say a couple things. One, I graduated from Michigan State. I did my time there, so to speak, you know, Wells Hall, blah, blah, blah. And Sue Carter, she's awesome. What I got to say is this. Graduated from law school, was prosecutor, blah, blah, blah. Done that. So at what point in time to forgive somebody if they have not been convicted of anything?
Mm-hmm. I hear you, Mark. I see. So the point you're making is basically, you know, this happened in the past. He was never convicted.
Right.
So you have no problem with, you know, the Detroit Lions saying, hey, let's move on. You know, again, let's move on. You're our guy. But this is the thing. The point I'm making, Mark, is that that's all fine and dandy.
And I'm all ears. I'm all ears. But,
how did the Detroit Lions not know this, though, Mark? That's the problem. That's the only problem I got. You know, when you sit down for an interview, Mark, I'm pretty sure you've interviewed for jobs. When you sit down for those jobs, don't they ask you about your past? You know, have you ever been arrested or convicted of a crime? That's like standard protocol in an interview. Why are they looking at this story and saying, oh, we didn't know any? Wait, how did we not know this? I don't know what you're talking about. That makes no sense to me. That's the problem that I have, Mark.
Well, I mean, how do we know that he did not, you know, disclose it on his forms?
Disclose it when? What did you say?
I mean, how do we know that when he actually applied for this job,
right,
that he did not disclose it on his forms?
Well, I tell you what, I can point to this direct quote from Rod Wood, who said, quote, I don't know anything about this, end quote. That's how we know, because the president of the team, who I imagine sat down with Matt Patricia during the interview process, did not know anything. Quote, I don't know anything about this, end quote. How do you not know about it, Mark? That makes no sense to me. That blows my mind.
Okay, and just one more thing.
Yeah, please do. Go ahead. Yeah.
Tim Stout and I go to the same church, you know, over to Haslett there. And basically, if you haven't been convicted of something, I mean, is lying on a form, you know, does that mean that you're guilty? I mean, please don't get me wrong here. We're on the same page here. Mm-hmm. But just because you have been told that, you know, maybe you were, you know, 15 years ago or whatever, actually time really doesn't matter. The fact that, he was accused of this is insulting to me. And if he was, then I don't really have much, how can I say, faith in him. You know, Stafford aside. But on the other hand, but if he was not, and if he was not, and, you know, he's being held up as a scapegoat, I'm not really sure exactly where to go with this.
Okay. I can hear you a bit. You're a bit conflicted with it. Mark, we due to time, we got to move on, my man. Thanks so much for the call. I mean, all the way from South Carolina. Really appreciate that.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Mark. Again, if you want to weigh in, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Again, this is the point I am making here. Ian, if I was to interview you, which I did, I sat down with you here at WKAR. We sat down and you know, combed through logistics as a possible candidate for being an engineer for WKAR's current sports. When you sit down with someone, just like I sat down with you, it is my responsibility to make sure that you are an upstanding young man and don't have any red flags out there like, oh, a sexual assault charge that really, you know, kind of will put, you know, if you did, but really put me on high alert and say to myself, okay, maybe this isn't the right guy for this job, because that's pretty serious. You got charged. All right. Which basically the prosecutor saw this and said there's enough here where we can charge this individual and put this thing in court. That's how serious this was. You know, it isn't like, you know, somebody, you know, and again, he was not. Again, I reiterate this as well. He was never found guilty of anything, but he was charged. But the problem that I have, if I didn't know that about you, Ian, if that was in your past and I didn't find that out before I hired you, if that becomes a problem later on down the line and is brought up, that's on me. I messed up. I didn't do my homework. Because you talk, and then Matt Patricia, you know, he sat up there in his introductory press conference, we are going to draft guys with high character, right? High character young men is who we want playing for the Detroit Lions organization. You better believe that if any of the players that they were even thinking about drafting a few weeks ago in Arlington, Texas, if any of those players had previous sexual assault charges, you better believe that the Detroit Lions, or any team for that matter, would not have drafted that young man. Am I right in saying that?
You're correct in saying that.
So why is that put aside when it comes to a head coach? Are we blinded by the hoopla of Matt Patricia coming from the New England Patriots organization, coming from a great coaching tree like Bill Belichick, winning rings, you know, the lore of Matt Patricia coming here to save this horrible franchise in the NFL that is called the Detroit Lions? Are we that blinded by the hope of success in the win column that we aren't looking at this story logically? That is what blows my mind and irritates me when it comes to having this conversation.
I agree, and it seems like the Detroit Lions need to update their application forms for new employees to include, have you ever been charged of a crime or accused of a crime? It's mind-boggling to me. You know, the first thing that you talk about with someone is their character. And you try and get to know them a little bit, talk about their past. And if Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia are buddy-buddy, as was described by our own Scott Pohl, then at some point you'd think this would have come up. And the other thing is, when you are an employer, it's your responsibility to run a background check on all new employees. You know, at least Google their name and see what comes up.
A simple Google.
It would have shown this.
All it would have taken. If you, a simple Google, and this story, I'm sure, would have popped up. Because, you know, I'm looking here at the piece. Again, I have the print version in front of me, as well as I've been combing through as well the internet version on the Detroit News website. And this was a piece written by the Monitor newspaper, that published this piece that has Matt Patricia's, I don't want to say that if it does not have his name in there, but I'm sure it would have popped up, right? Because again, he was charged. His name eventually came out in this case. I'm pretty sure the Monitor newspaper probably followed up and reported on that. A simple Google would have brought this story up. I don't get that. I don't understand that.
Well, and now this opens the floodgates for questions about other members of the Detroit Lions staff or organization. If something this big is not known about the head coach when he's hired, what kind of other oversights have there been in the Detroit Lions organization before this?
Yeah, I don't get it, man. Yeah, and it was, again, in this story, the other guy, I mentioned Greg, they were Theta Chi fraternity brothers, Matt Patricia and Greg Dietrich. Again, Matt Patricia was 21 years old at the time. Greg was 22. And on the evening of March 15th, 1996, is where the young woman told police that two men burst into her upscale hotel room where she was sleeping and took turns violently sexually assaulting her. Very serious stuff. Again, she did not show up to testify, citing the stress of trial, and it was dismissed. And Matt Patricia and Greg were never convicted of anything. The thing is, I just can't believe them. I mean, we're talking 1996. I don't understand how you don't do your homework here. This is on the Detroit Lions organization. This is on the Detroit Lions organization's incompetence. And I just don't. Especially what really gets me also, Ian, is that, I mean, this is 2018. This is 2018. Hashtag Me Too is everywhere. Just look at what's happening here at Michigan State University. Michigan State, you know, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, is on the front page of ESPN right now as John Engler has issued more comments concerning, you know, student safety here on campus and bringing up the sexual assault accusations against players within Mark D'Antonio's football program and Tom Izzo's basketball program. This is a serious topic. Anybody who is going to be a part of your organization or your company, you got to make sure that their past has nothing to do with sexual assault. Because once you hire that individual and that individual has a past of any sort, even if they're not even guilty, you know, say what you will about that. I mean, you're going to be criticized. You are going to be scrutinized for that move. So crazy, man. This story is, this is not the last that we're going to be hearing of this story. And then when it comes to the Detroit Lions, I mean, you know, this is going to be the first season with Matt Patricia as head coach. You now have an unnecessary distraction, something that personnel, upper echelon execs and personnel of NFL teams, they always stress, we don't want a distraction. You know, if we're going to draft you, we don't want to want you to be a distraction. All right. But now you have a new head coach who has just created, you know, a distraction due to his past. Well, I should say he hasn't created this. The Detroit Lions organization has created this because you hired him not knowing that he had this in his past. This can become a big problem for an organization trying to put the wheels back on the track when it comes to winning. Who knows what's going to happen? I don't know.
I mean, apparently the Lions organization has had their heads in the sand for the better part of 2 years because Michigan State has been all over the place for all the wrong reasons for the better part of 2 years. You'd think they'd be able to look down the road at their neighboring football organization and say, hey, we don't want anything like that to happen to us. Maybe we should take some extra precautions, do some extra homework, which apparently they've done none of, to be able to try and make sure we hire the right person to be the face of our organization. I mean, as the head coach, he's going to be on TV more than almost any other player on the field. He'll probably get the most standalone screen time out of anybody on the team. So when he is that big of a character in your organization, you got to do all the extra steps to make sure that this guy is a stand-up guy and doesn't have any skeletons in the closet. And the Lions did not do that.
So I'll ask this question to you, Ian. if the Lions found this out during the interview process and read this story and addressed it to Matt Patricia, again, he was never convicted when it comes to this this situation back in 1996. If they found this out, knew about it, addressed it with Matt. Matt says it's in my past. I'm not that person. I was never convicted. Do you think they still should have hired him?
I think they should have hired him had they done their homework. And like the situation you just described, they bring it up to him. They have a long conversation about it. They make sure that Matt Patricia is not going to be a person of concern for them moving forward. And if they felt overly comfortable in their situation there with Matt Patricia, then they should have made the move to hire him. But only after a long, detailed conversation with him and only after doing their homework on the case. And then, in my opinion, it would have been okay to hire Matt Patricia. And to be honest with you, I think it would have been best for the organization in that scenario had they then come forward to the press and said, look, we've had these conversations with our coach.
Right.
We're going to be upfront with you about this. This stuff happened, but it's in the past. Just
transparency.
Transparency. Just want to let everybody know what's going on with our organization. Want to make sure there's no secrets. Make sure it looks like we're not trying to hide anything.
Right, because another thing is, you got to think about this. I mean, another thing is, you know, obviously the New England Patriots didn't know about this either. You know what I mean? You know, and now I'm pretty sure they're probably reading this story, and Bill Belichick and company are probably saying, "Whoa,
we dodged
a huge bullet," right? Because you know, they didn't do their homework either. I mean, he was, you know, under Bill Belichick for years, and they didn't know anything about this. So, you know, I got to give some props to Robert Snell. You know, we would have been talking about the Detroit Lions entering year one under Matt Patricia and, you know, what their record's going to be. Can they make the playoffs? That would have been the dialogue now and not this story. But Robert Snell, I have no problem with his reporting.
Clearly, we know there's no one problem person out there at least that can use Google.
Yeah. Exactly, right? None of us knew about this, and that's just journalism, man. I have no problem with Robert coming out with this story. You know, some would question the timing, but you know, when it comes to the local reporters here in Michigan and in Detroit specifically, I mean, yeah, you know, that's just a curious reporter. Okay, he's the new head coach of the Detroit Lions. Let's just do some Googling, do some research, and see what his background's like. And oh, what is this? You know, boom, red flag right there. So. We'll continue to talk about this on tomorrow's Current Sports. And Jack Ebling, you know, I just messaged Jack Ebling about 10 minutes ago, and he lost track of time. He was tied up with a client. So hopefully we can get Jack on either tomorrow or next week. So, yeah, hopefully we have Jack on sometime in the future. Also, Casey Lubon, head coach of the Michigan State men's golf team. He will be a part of our airwaves tomorrow. You don't want to miss that. We'll talk some golf. We'll talk the Players Championship and Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson. Going to be a great day to close out the Current Sports Week. Until then, we are on a 23-hour break. Be easy, people.